Our present meditation is on faith in Christ, shown by loyalty to the Pope. There are certain events in the Gospels that synthesize what a Catholic is supposed to be. These events are at once mysteries and challenges. They are mysteries because, though revealed, we cannot fully understand them. That, by the way, is what a mystery is. It's not something we know nothing about. It's something we don't know everything about. But they are also challenges, because especially in our day, they bring to the surface what needs to be sometimes desperately emphasized in our times. One such event that might almost be called the test of Catholicism is described by St. Matthew and may be approximately called Peter's Confession, which really means Peter's Profession, or from another viewpoint, the promise of the primacy. Let me first read the text that by now I'm sure many of us have memorized. Now Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There are four logical features, each one of which deserves not the few minutes, but months of prayerful meditation in this passage from the Gospel of Matthew. First, Peter's profession of faith in Christ. Then, Christ's acceptance of this profession. Third, Christ's promise to make Peter the visible foundation of his church. And finally, the awesome description of the power of the papal primacy. Peter's profession of faith. It began, as the text indicates, with a double question from Jesus. First he asked, "Who do other people say that I am?" And then, clearly not satisfied, Christ then said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" People said different things. By now, by the way, this is the 16th chapter of Matthew. Christ had been preaching and working miracles for quite some time. What did some people say? "This is John the Baptist, come back to life." Or Elijah, also, as promised, come back to earth. Or Jeremiah, and surely judging by some of Christ's strong statements to the Pharisees, it sounded every bit like Jeremiah. Or, not being sure which prophet, one of them. Clearly, Christ was not this. So then he asked them, plural, "Who do you say that I am?" Now Peter assumed. This, mind you, is before the promise. It is also before the conferral of the primacy. Christ picked a natural leader. Peter never doubted. He was in charge, of course. Christ was there. Peter spoke for the rest. And as usual, nobody objected. Peter said two things. "Thou art the Messiah, and thou art the Son of the living God." The Greek in both cases has a definite article. Only one Messiah and only one Son of God. What was Peter affirming? He was first saying that Jesus was the one who for centuries had been foretold by the prophets. He was indeed the one who was to come. In other words, that the Old Testament was finished and the new one had dawned. The word Christ, since we are so used to it, may not bring out the full flavor of the meaning behind the word. Christ, as you know, is simply the English equivalent to Christos in Greek, which means Messiah or Mashiach in Hebrew. You are the Messiah. But on the heels of that, Peter added still more, that Jesus is the natural, the only Son of God. Besides the definite article, there is the expression Son of the Living God. This too had been foretold in the Old Law, dimly, as the expression goes, adumbrated. But no less than the Jews of Christ's time were looking forward to a different kind of Messiah than the one Jesus turned out to be. If they missed that, you may be sure they would have totally missed the allusions to the divine transcendence of the Messiah, foretold, for example, in the Psalms. In any case, what Peter was saying and what faith this took, you, a man like me, whose face I can see, whose hands I can touch, whose voice I can hear, you are my God. Faith, we know, is only possible where there has first been a revelation. So the second level of our reflections, Christ's acknowledgement. Had this been untrue, were Jesus not what Peter said he was, it would have been blasphemy twice over for the Savior to have accepted the profession. He did. He further went on to say, and now we begin to apply some of this to ourselves. Flesh and blood could not possibly have let you know who I really am. Flesh and blood see only a man like yourself. But my Heavenly Father has inspired you by His grace. You are able to see by faith what the eyes of the body or even the eyes of the mind could never perceive. Jesus is telling us a great deal. Think of the things we believe, about which Jesus can say, flesh and blood did not reveal these to you, but only my Heavenly Father. Make a list, at least mentally sometime, of the astounding things we believe. I had believed the real presence since, as I recall, the dawn of reason. So my mother told me. But when I genuflected, as I like to repeat for the first time at my first Mass, it dawned on me, my God, I believe that I, a sinner, can change bread into the body of Christ, the Son of the living God. Whereas after this conference, I will try to find Father Swanson to go to confession to him. Which I try to do, if I can, daily. A man like me. But I believe. and so across the whole spectrum of our faith. How truly Jesus is telling us, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You believe only because my Father has given you the grace to believe. Sheer, undeserved gift. But being a gift, this faith of ours, it is a supernatural gift, totally unmerited. Though it came to us through no claim on our part, listen to this. We won't keep the faith, however, without doing something about the faith we already have. We are to better understand the faith. That's a duty. It is not an academic luxury. We must meditate on the faith. We must put this faith into practice. And we must live the faith, which can mean a thousand things. For me, it especially means living a life of prayerful union with Christ. How those, especially priests and religious, need to be told this. Why have so many lost the faith? They've lost it. Because they had so many foolishly, stupidly, failed to breathe that air without which a believer suffocates. And that is the air of humble, constant prayer. Third level of our reflections, Christ's promise to build the church on Peter. Having accepted Peter's profession of faith in himself as the Messiah and the Son of God, Christ then makes the promise that he was, as we know, to fulfill shortly after his resurrection from the dead. Jesus had just called him Simon, son of Jonah, which the best exegetes say is John. I like that. That was his first and family name. Frankly, Simon Johnson. Then Christ proceeded to change Simon's name. He said, "Thou art Peter." To see that in St. Peter's, to ask Petrus, is to realize you were standing on rock. The Savior spoke Aramaic. in which language the word was kepha. But in Greek, in which Matthew's gospel has come down to us, the term became Petros. Although the normal Greek word is Petra. But Petros was evidently a man. So Jesus, and being God, he broke so many laws, one more or less wouldn't matter. He broke the law of language. He gave him a masculine name appropriate to his gender in order to bring out what no one dare forget. Behind the gender was the meaning. And the meaning was rock. And as when I comment on these passages in teaching theology, I tell my students, this is no pebble, no little rock. This is a stone, the kind you quarry. And the Greeks had a word for every shade of distinction. Having given Simon his new name, the Rock, Jesus went on to declare what would be Peter's, the Rock's, role in the church that Christ was founding.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.